Hey, welcome back to Morning Minutes. I'm Lena, and we have had a great run together. We're studying 1 Corinthians in a series called Listen Up, Applying Biblical Wisdom to Everyday Life. And we don't want to just listen. We want to do what God has asked us to do. And so we're looking at spiritual gifts now. We're in episode 47, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20, Practical Tips for the Church Body. We're in the context of talking about spiritual gifts. Here's what Paul writes. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. This is a great passage of scripture. No controversy here. This is really just an encouraging passage of scripture comparing the body of Christ, the church, to a body. And this is a very good analogy. Obviously, God gave it, so it's excellent. But it really does make sense. And whether you're familiar with the human body or not, I think anybody can read these verses and sort of understand the gist of it. But there are some key verses here, like the one early on in the reading. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. This is critical. The minute you come into Christ, you receive him as your Savior, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. And this verse 13 is a key verse in that teaching. There are some Christians that believe that you become filled with the Spirit later on in an experience when they then speak in tongues, potentially as a manifestation of that. That is not biblical. The biblical way is that the minute you come to Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know that sounded a bit dogmatic. I apologize if that offended you, but I really believe that is what the Bible teaches here. So practical tips for the church body. Number one, in order for the body to function well, every member must recognize the role of the Spirit. All right, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is a person and he comes to live in us. He has a specific job. You can read about him in John 14 and other passages in John. But the Holy Spirit is in us to teach us, to convict us, to comfort us. His presence is like nothing else. I think any Christian who has experienced the filling of the Spirit can attest to that. We become filled with the Spirit at salvation. We become awakened to the Spirit at salvation. Now, there are multiple times in the Christian life where you might be refreshed in the Spirit, like Ephesians, I think it's 5, that talks about it, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So there are moments of refreshment in the Spirit where you might feel a bigger sense of the Spirit, but you become embodied with the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. And everybody does, whether you are a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free. Colossians talks about whether you're male or female. This presence of the Spirit in the life of the believer is equal parts in all Christians. That's awesome. So you have no excuses. You are not on your own. The Spirit of God is in you. If you have not received Christ yet, today is the day of salvation. Ask him to forgive you your sins. Take his death on the cross and his resurrection as payment for the penalty of your sin. Identify with him in his resurrection. Ask him to save you. Listen, Jesus died for you, and so believe in him today. So the minute you do, the Spirit of God will come to live in you. Number two, in order for the body to function well, every member is needed. There is no such thing as the appendix in the body of Christ. I always laugh because the appendix used to be superfluous, and lately there's some studies that indicate that it has some immunity functions in the body. And so people used to joke, like, I feel like I'm the appendix in the human body. Everybody has a role, everyone. You can't say, well, I'm just a hand, I don't matter. I'm the little pinky toe, I don't matter. Every part of the body matters. And that is what this section of scripture is saying. There are no less important members in the body, and there are no less useful members in the body. Everyone has a role and a function. Ultimately, we're all meant to glorify Jesus. So, point number one, in order for the body to function well, every member must recognize the role of the Holy Spirit. And number two, in order for the body to function well, every member is needed. Number three, in order for the body to function well, every member must remember that God sovereignly decides all things. Do you question your place in the body? Are you like, why am I the hand? Why am I the eye? I want to be the heart. I want to be, and on and on. You have to believe that God in his goodness and his sovereignty has decided all things for the best. God is the head of the church, ultimately. God loves every part of the body. And so he died for every part of the body, and he lives for every part of the body. So therefore, let's see that gift of the local church, not a place of competition and divisions, as was common in the church in Corinth, but a place to reflect the glory of the Lord. This is awesome. This is awesome. I hope you've been blessed with this thought today. I hope that you see your role in the body. I hope you are part of a body. If you're a Christian, you're part of the greater body of Christ, but God has given us the gift of the local church in which we can exercise so many of our own gifts and grow in the knowledge of God and in shining as lights for Jesus. So not all churches are perfect. The Corinthian church was not perfect, but God loved them enough to send them this letter and give them a chance to change. So let's thank him for this. Hey, isn't it an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ? I believe it is. Hope you do too. Love you guys. I'll catch you again tomorrow.